In the gospel reading today, we hear about this Samaritan woman who comes to the well and has this conversation with our Lord. First, we have to remember that Samaritans were part Jewish, but they were part Gentile. And so the Jewish people didn't accept them as being Jewish. Understandably, they weren't entirely Jewish. And so they were castaways. They were rejected. We also have to remember that the Samaritans believed only in the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, as we would call it, the Torah, as the Jewish people would call it. And in those first five books, however, those written by Moses, we have the promises that God had made. And so this woman understood that, and she believed what was there. She didn't have the prophets, she didn't have all the other books of the Old Testament, but yet she had that faith in the scriptures, and she believed that the Messiah was going to come, that God had made a promise, and she was holding on to that promise. When she hears our Lord speak, he tells her, because she says, "I know that the Messiah is coming," and he said, "The one you're speaking to, I am he." And she made an act of faith at that point. And eventually became, well, not eventually, immediately became an evangelist. She went into town and she started telling all the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything that I've done. Could he be the Christ?" And then we hear the people of the town, after they invite Jesus to stay with them for a couple of days and they listen to his teaching, we're told that they say to the woman, "We no longer believe because of what you told us. We've come to believe that this is the Savior of the world." Look at the act of faith that these people made. There was nothing that they could see. Jesus wasn't glowing in the dark. He wasn't floating. He wasn't doing anything extraordinary. He was simply teaching them, and he taught them the truth. And because the Samaritans didn't have the whole truth that the Jewish people had, when they heard the truth, they were set free. And they wanted that truth. And they believed. And it's interesting how often the Jewish people didn't believe in God. Even when we listen to the first reading, putting it in context, the Jewish people had just seen God work extraordinary things as he worked the 10 plagues in Egypt. He opened the Red Sea. They walked right through. And what happens? They get out in the desert. There's no water out there. And rather than turning to God, who had just worked all these extraordinary things to bring them out of Egypt, what do? They test him. They're just like us. They whined and complained. They didn't trust God, and they tested him. They grumbled against him. I always like to point out when I read those sort of things, these people could have been from Minnesota. And that's what we do with everything. We complain. We whine. We are professional complainers. And we have to really stop and ask the question, do we really believe in God? These people from Samaria, they believed in Jesus. They said, "We believe he's the Savior of the world." And then we listen to what the Jewish people said, "Is God in our midst or not?" And so which is it? Because we talk out of both sides of our mouths. We say that, yeah, we believe in Jesus, and then we turn around and we say, "Is God in our midst or not? If God is real, why does he allow these things to happen? Where's God? How come? How come? How come?" It's like, do we really believe? That's the challenge for all of us to look at. So again, going back to the time of the Exodus, yeah, these people were out in the desert. Their children didn't have anything to drink. Their livestock didn't have anything to drink. It's miserable, and it is hot, and there is nothing to block the sun that's beating straight down on their heads. We can understand why they'd be a little bit upset. We can understand why they'd be whining and complaining. But the real question is, did they trust God? And the answer was no. So now let's bring that to ourselves. In all of our whining and complaining, the question is, do we trust God? It's pretty obvious what the answer is, or we wouldn't be whining and complaining. What we have to learn is that truly God is with us. He is in our midst. He hasn't abandoned us. Unfortunately, we keep abandoning him, but he doesn't abandon us. But we don't trust him, because we have this idea somehow that if God is with us, that everything should be easy. He's just going to provide for everything in abundance and a long time before it needs to be done. And he will indeed provide for all of our needs, but he's going to test us. He's going to find out if we really, truly believe in him. That's what happened with the Jewish people in the desert. He let them feel the thirst. He let them feel the hunger. And rather than turning to God and praying, they just complained to Moses. Why did you bring us out here just to die? Well, you read through the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers, and how many times did they come up with this exact same foolishness? It's like, how many things need to happen before you trust? Well, it took them more than 40 years before they got there. And they still didn't really trust, but at least they learned. God will provide. We're wandering in the desert for 40 years. He gives us bread. He gives us water. He takes care of everything. So he lets us feel it too. And sometimes that's not very pleasant. Sometimes we struggle and we wonder and we question and we doubt. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, do I turn to God and pray? Or am I like those Jewish people who whined and complained? Where is God? Why is he doing this? Really, do we truly believe? Shouldn't we turn to him and pray? We've all read the lives of the saints. They all struggled. None of them had a cakewalk, because they had to grow in faith, they had to grow in trust, they had to grow in charity, just like us. They didn't start as saints, they became saints. God wants us to be saints. We're not starting that way. So we have to become that way. That's where what St. Paul is talking about in the second reading, that hope does not disappoint. Trust is part of the virtue of hope. So if we will hope, if we will trust in God, he will take care of things. Not necessarily the way that we think that it ought to be done, and certainly not in the timing that we think that it ought to be done. Again, look back to what happened to these people in the desert. First, they go out into the desert, and God brings them to the Red Sea, and then brings the Egyptians right behind them, so they're stuck. They can't go forward because the Red Sea is there and the Egyptians are on the backside. And what do? Same thing we'd probably do. They panicked. They think that God brought them out into the desert so that they could be killed. And then God opened the Red Sea for them. But notice that he didn't open the Red Sea until they got pushed. He could have just opened the Red Sea the day before. Said, good, you guys are coming, let's open it up, just keep on marching. He didn't do that. He let them experience the struggle that was there so that they had to trust him. Then he brings them out to Mount Horeb, and he lets them experience the thirst, and he lets them experience the hunger. He could have given them bread from heaven, the manna, right from day one. But he didn't. Because they had to learn that God is trustworthy. But they also had to learn to be dependent on God. And you and I need to learn that same lesson. That's a hard lesson to learn. It's very, very difficult. But we need to learn to pray. We need to learn to trust. We need to learn to depend on Him. So we have to ask ourselves, putting it into the context of the gospel, can we say with this woman that this is the Christ? Can we say with the people of Sychar that we believe that this is the Savior of the world? Then we have to then go to what St. Paul says. If God did not spare His only Son, do you think He's going to withhold anything else from us? Why would God withhold something that we need if He's going to give His own Son to die for us? It would have been a whole lot easier to give us the water or the bread or whatever it is we need. He gave us His Son. He's giving us the extreme to be able to show us, look, if I'm going to give you the extreme, I will give you everything else too. But you need to trust. That is hard. Trust is one of the most difficult virtues in the spiritual life to develop. And it is one of the most necessary to have. And the only way it grows, like any virtue, is to be tested. So He takes things away, and He asks us to trust. And what do we do? Instead of going to prayer and instead of trusting Him, we whine and we complain and we grumble against Him, just like we heard in the first reading. So we can't point a finger at those people and say, what's wrong with you? You just saw the 10 plagues, you saw the Red Sea open, you saw all these things, and then you're whining and complaining? What about you and me? Look at everything that has happened in our lives and how He's taken care of us, and what do? Boy, first opportunity, we're whining and complaining. We're professionals at it. So we need to learn to trust. We need to learn to be at peace. We need to learn that God is indeed with us and quit testing Him to find out if He really is. Just trust Him and watch what He will do. Now, as I always point out to people, if we're going to trust the Lord, it's like if you're driving, He's got the wallet. You're basically on empty. And there's a gas station right up there, and so you pull into the gas station. And He pulls out a dollar bill and hands it to you and said, put in a dollar. It's like, no, we're empty. It's like, right, put in the buck. It's like, no, we're not going to go very far. And it's just put in the dollar. Okay, put in the dollar. You go a few miles, you start sputtering again, just in time to roll into another gas station. And He gives you another buck. Wouldn't it be nice to have a full tank? You wouldn't have to trust Him with a full tank. Got to trust Him on an empty tank. So He gives you just enough to be able to do what needs to be done. And if the time comes and He gives you 10 bucks, you think, oh my goodness, wow, we can get it up to a quarter tank. That's because you're going out into the desert and there's not another gas station for quite a few miles, and you got just enough gas to be able to get you to the next one. He will take care of everything. But He's not necessarily going to make it easy, because He wants us to trust Him. That is critical. In fact, if you look at the prophets, they will tell you that 40 years in the desert for the Jewish people, they call it the honeymoon. That's where they drew near to God. That's where they learned to trust Him. That's where they really learned that God loved them. So it would have been, on one hand, a pretty miserable time wandering around the desert aimlessly. And on the other hand, what a blessing to be able to see all that God did for them. He will do that for us if we will trust Him. So we learn. Let's try not to be like the people at Meribah and Massah who grumbled against God and kept testing Him. Let's learn to be like these people of Samaria who put their faith in Jesus. If we really believe, then we need to act on that. We need to trust him. We need to have confidence in him. We need to love him. We need to strive to do his holy will. That's what we're being called to do. So, not an easy thing for us, but a very necessary one, so that we can truly learn dependence, so that we can truly learn trust, so that you and I can be the saints that God is calling us to be by learning to do the will of God.